So good morning and welcome to Engage Church. My name is Pastor Mike, and I'm thrilled to have you here with us today. I normally start all of my message with something like that, and I don't ever want it to become monotonous or not true, because I am truly happy every single one of you chose to come and worship God with us today. And it's without you, I would just be up here by myself. And that's not as fun as having all of you here to help worship God with. And I believe that God has a word for us today. In fact, this whole series is a word that I believe that He has given us. And I am excited to bring you that word this morning. And if we go over the last few weeks, 3 weeks, because we had a Sunday off due to the snow, praise God that the snow's almost gone. Can I get an amen? Just in time for February with the ice and all of that. But So over the last 3 weeks, we've talked about a couple of things. We've talked about giving generously, which is our series, and we started by laying the foundation of a generous heart. So to be generous, we have to have a generous heart. And giving generously, that only happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to transform our heart. And last week, we discussed our time and service to the body of Christ. And how when we all serve the body of Christ grows. And we talked about, if you're seeing this clipboard coming around, there's a couple of things that we can immediately put into effect that will positively impact our church and our services. And then there's future stuff that I want to do on it. But we've all got to come together and serve the body of Christ. And this week we take that third brick. We're laying foundations here. And this week, we add that third brick to the foundation of giving generously as we look at God's continued vision for our church in 2024. Do you know that this vision goes beyond our walls and beyond our communities? It's our church's global impact. Do you know that we have a global impact here this morning? Our church has always had a strong missions background. We've sent missionaries out of this church. We have always supported missionaries, and we will continue to support missionaries. And in fact, we're going to continue to do so. And here's my challenge. Normally, I wait till the end to give my challenge. My challenge is coming first thing this morning. My challenge for all of us here today is by year end of 2024, so December 31st of 2024, that we see an increase in our monthly missions giving, that we can support, we can take on and support a minimum of 3, but hopefully 5 new missionaries in 2024. Now, if you don't know who we already support, down there by the bathrooms, you see all those pictures on the wall. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Those pictures are our current missionaries that we support. And giving generously to missions is every church's responsibility. Every church carries the responsibility to advance the gospel message, and that we can do that through supporting missionaries. And it's to help us reach areas that we ourselves could never reach. If you have your Bible with you, and I hope you brought it, but if not, I hope someone next to you brought theirs, that they'll let you look on it with you. Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And while you turn there, since this is a missions-minded message, I reached out to a couple of our missionaries, and I asked them to tell me what it meant to them to support missions and why it's important. And I want to share those responses with you today. The first one, they said this: "I am constantly overwhelmed knowing people invest their hard-earned money into the work that God has called us to. It is so humbling to think that they believe and they trust us to make an eternal impact. It's absolutely empowering with all the prayers and encouragement we receive from our supporters, and it's the only way that we are able to accomplish what we have seen God do through our ministry." The second one, this picture goes with it. The second missionary responded and said, "I think the picture that I sent you says 1,000 words." Can you see that? Can everybody see that? So over here, we got the guy. He's titled the church. Then we got the guy that's in the water. and trying to get pulled out, that's the missionary. And then who do you think the lamb represents? The lost. So here's what that missionary had to say about this picture. I think that picture I sent you says 1,000 words. Something I say all the time is we don't ask you, as missionaries, we don't ask you to stand behind us. We ask you to stand beside us, to share in the labor. That is missions in a nutshell. Something I have said for years of pastoral ministry is that if a missionary doesn't go, then you have to. And that's where we arrive to our text this morning. So Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, this is what we know as the Great Commission. It says this, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." First and foremost, this was not just Jesus' message to his disciples. This is not just for the few that were standing there and heard this. But instead, this is for anybody who's a follower of Jesus Christ. This is for the church to carry out. If we dive into these verses, there's a few key words that we should hear, and we also see because it's on the screen. Here's the key words. You ready? You can write this down if you want. Go, make disciples, baptizing, and I am with you. Here we see Jesus giving his final instructions, and he states the goal and the responsibility of his church. So what is that goal? It is our job as a church today. So our collective job is to go. Now, I shared this in Sunday school. If you study this word that they use, it can either mean like you are sent out, go, like I'm commanding you to go, or it can mean as you go about. If we've always looked at this as go, I am sending you, then we can absolve ourselves of any responsibility because we're not called as missionaries. But if we view it as you go about, well, doesn't that capture the entire church? That applies to every one of us, doesn't it? So our collective job is to go, in any sense of that word that you want it to mean this morning, but it is to go to all nations and cultures, preaching the gospel of repentance and forgiveness. It is about nurturing believers into disciple makers, not just converts. A convert without discipling is what? Not a disciple. It's like the seed that was thrown on the rock. It has no place to take root. Part of being a disciple is being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Part of being a disciple is to listen and learn and apply Jesus' words to our lives. The promise for all of us, for each and every one of us, as we work to carry this work out, as we carry out this goal that Jesus gave us, is found in verse 20. What does verse 20 say? This is Jesus' promise. He says, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus' promise to us as Christians is that he is always with us. So here's what that should do. It should encourage us. It should help us to overcome every fear, every doubt, every trouble, every heartache, and every discouragement. Creating disciples Listen, this is important. Creating disciples is the only way the church grows. Creating disciples is the only way the church grows. And here's what a disciple is. A disciple is a disciplined learner and a follower of Jesus. You go from convert status to a disciple when you start coming to Sunday school, or when you join a Bible study, or you pick up our 52 or 365 day Bible reading plan that's back there on the table and you join us. In fact, today we were on day 28, and I know that's going to become more confusing February 1st because the days aren't going to match up with what day we're on. But listen, if we are in our Word and if we are getting sound teaching, we're becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. Here's what else that means. As we see the power of Jesus come into our lives, change our lives, impact our lives, pull us out of sin, release us from addiction, restore relationship, it creates something inside of you that can't be silent. It creates I don't want to call it a reaction, but it's kind of a reaction to go tell others about Jesus. We stand here and we sing praises that He's all-powerful and all hail King Jesus. Are we willing to say all hail King Jesus once we leave these walls? Embrace the awkward. Now, Mike, how am I supposed to go to Africa or over here and because I've got a job or I've got this responsibility or I've got kids? Listen, not all of us can go. Not every one of us can go to other nations and cultures. That would be absurd to think that we could all go. Because don't we have to have a local church as well? We have jobs, we have this, we have that. And it's likely mainly because we don't have that same calling. We don't have that direct calling on our life to go to other nations and cultures. But guess what? You are called. You're called right here. You're called to our backyard. See, missionaries, they are those who have been called and are empowered by the Holy Spirit to reach a certain area, a certain people, or a nation that God has called them to serve. They aim to build relationships daily, to share the gospel, to create disciples, and to baptize, the very thing the Great Commission tells us to. They give their whole lives to the serving of the kingdom of God. Sending missionaries has occurred since the early church. They sent missionaries in the early church. And as we make disciples, we send them out as missionaries to do what? To make more disciples. This is what the early church in Acts did. And we're going to find ourselves in Acts chapter 13 here in a second if you want to turn there. But this is what the early church did. As we become discipled, we make disciples as we go about. Acts chapter 13, 1 through 4, I'll have it on the overhead as well. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. The early church sent out missionaries. Now, as missionaries, they need support. This is the truth of the matter. They need support. So essentially, the church... What do I mean by this when I say the church? Us, people, all of us, Christians, followers of Jesus. The church, through support, pays the missionary's ministry expense. and it ensures there is food on their table. This ensures that they can be effective at spreading the gospel. Now, let me explain it in another way. In the same way you, the local church, support me, your local pastor, the global church collectively supports missionaries. Does that make sense? So throughout his epistles, here's what we see Paul do. Paul clearly encourages the financial support of missionaries and pastors through the church. In Galatians 6:6, you can write this down and go read it later. In Galatians 6:6, he instructs the Galatians that the church body is to financially support the teachers of the faith. In 1 Timothy 5:18, he quotes the Gospels, Matthew 10 and Luke 10, when he tells the church to allow the servants to eat. And then finally, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20, here we see Paul thanking the church at Philippi for supporting him. Paul was supported and served the was served by the Philippian church as a missionary. Just like our wall downstairs, we support and serve. Does anybody know, besides Rochelle, does anybody know how many missionaries are on that wall downstairs? Huh? Yeah, close. 18 missionaries. We support and we serve 18 different missionaries. So at our 2024 business meeting in January of 2025, I hope to be able to stand before you and tell you that that number has now increased to 21 to 23 missionaries. And continuing to see that number grow as we continue move forward as a church. See, when we give to missions, when we give support, faithful support to missions, here's what you're doing. You're giving directly to God. Just like your tithe and offering, you're giving it to the church, but it's an offering unto God. It's trusting Him with your finances. We are giving it unto God. And would you know that He honors and accepts our gifts as a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to Him? In Matthew 25:40, Jesus says, "What we do to help His people in need, we are actually doing for the..." Anyone know? "For the Lord Himself." So what we do for those in need, we're doing for the Lord Himself. I reached out, Teresa, if you want to unmute the computer here. I reached out to a few of our current missionaries, I hate to call them perspective because it's not like a draft, but a missionary that we don't support yet and a couple of current missionaries. And I asked them to share a story of a changed life through their ministry as a missionary. And I want to share a few of those stories with you. The first one is an audio recording that comes from Kim Babcock. He is one of our current missionaries. So listen to this. It might take a few seconds. It had some delay.
Mike, I can share a story with you of a young man that came into our ministry about 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And he came from a situation where when his mother discovered she was pregnant, the guy she was with abandoned her, left the country because of the pregnancy. She hated men. She was with, had different various men in her life, and so he has different siblings. And he came to the ministry and was 17, 18 years old to go through our school of extreme formation. And because she hated men, the mom, he had a lot of feminine characteristics, never really had a man in his life, and God began to shape him and mold him and transform him and administer to him about his identity as a son of God, and that he was wanted by the Lord, that he wasn't a reject or an outcast. His dad came back to visit the family or just to meet him for the first time when he was like 12 or 13 years old, spent 10 minutes with him, and again rejected him. So he just really felt like he was completely worthless. So he came into the ministry, Lord, begin to minister to his heart. And we saw such a change in him, we asked him to stay on staff after that year of ministry. He's been with us now for 7 years. Him and this other gal are leading the ministry right now to adolescents. And this guy has such a revelation of the father heart of God and just being a child of the Lord. He's finishing up his university studies. He's also doing his ministerial studies. This guy is going to be a life changer. He is a manly man. This guy, you would never recognize who he was 8 years ago. That's one story of transformation I can share with you.
The next one is from Jake and Samantha Thies, and they are a missionary that we don't currently support. They are scheduled to come in March 11th. I think March 11th is when they're scheduled. Am I on? Yeah? Boy, it's so clear. I can't tell if I'm on or not. Here's what Jake had to say about a testimony. Our friend, and names have been changed, by the way, so to protect people's identities, but our friend Muhammad is a Muslim background believer from Pakistan. He has faced tremendous persecution from his family when he stopped going to mosque, doing his daily prayers, and other things that Muslims are supposed to do. It is believed that his family hired a group of people to kill him. The people grabbed him and pulled him into a van and beat him, and they quickly tried to slit his throat, but by God's grace, he survived. Unfortunately, as a man with a Muslim background, he received very little help from the churches in his country. To them, he was a ticking time bomb and brought with him too much risk for them to serve him. So God opened the doors for him to apply for refugee status in Sri Lanka. He arrived 1 year after we moved there. And when we met him, he immediately joined our home group Bible study. He has been such a huge testimony of God's love. He has shared his story with all the unbelievers in our group, including those who are Muslim. He shares how Jesus' character is what drew him to Christ and how Islam is far from a religion of peace. And even with this in-your-face, bold proclamation, our friends continue to come and even look up to him. He was baptized in our group on his birthday. His joy is so contagious. Shortly after, during one of our group gatherings, he shared with tears streaming down his face in front of everyone how he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in his home. It wasn't even something that Jake had taken the time to discuss with him yet during their discipleship. Today, Muhammad has been leading this group every week while we are in the States. It has been an honor to co-labor with him, and we still praise the Lord that in one of our darkest seasons of life in Sri Lanka, he sent him to encourage us. The last one is from Tim Leathers. Everybody knows Tim. He's one of our supported missionaries. And here's what he had to say. When Tanya first called us, she was desperate. Her alcoholism was out of control. She had been trying to fix her life on her own, but it had only gotten worse. Circumstances in her life over the past 20 years had only compounded her problem. She had been through multiple different programs, multiple facilities, trying to find help, but never stayed at them long enough to see those lasting results. She even knew Jesus, but she lacked the community that she needed to process and deal with the hand that life had thrown at her. When she called us, she said, "I just want to be sober and at peace again. God's not going to keep letting me try to do this my way." We told her that we would absolutely love to help her. A couple days later, she texted me. She said this, "I believe this is God. My son called me on my birthday and said that he has been praying that I would find a strong Christian community. I broke down crying. I know this is God." Tanya has now been with us, or she is with us, and she is doing amazing. She has had some difficult situations that she has had to go through since being with us. She has told us multiple times that if she hadn't been at Lifehouse during those tough times, she would have turned back to alcohol. The Christian community is what has helped her. Thank you, Jesus, that we were there for her and that she is learning to process her emotions with Jesus' help rather than drink them away like she did in her past. Tanya is relearning how to do life. Those are three stories of missionaries with testimony of their work. And guys, what I have to say about this, this is what the gospel does. Are we alive in here this morning? We just heard three testimonies, and I say this is what the gospel does, and everyone's just staring at me. I know we're all hungry for potatoes, but listen. This is what the gospel does. It changes life. How did the gospel change your life? Answer that question amongst yourself right now. What did God pull you from? That's easy to get excited about, isn't it? Because we're not there anymore. This is what the gospel does. It frees those. If we go back to the picture, it's pulling the lost out of the raging river and saving them. This is what the gospel is. The gospel changes lives. The Word of God does what? It transforms. If you hear the Word of God and don't walk away changed, you haven't heard the Word of God. All of us here, us here, guess what? We get to be part of that. We get to take a part of that. We get to join in that work. And it's when we support missions and we have that part, we get to take part in that transformation in their lives. From Muhammad's life to Tanya's life to this young man that Kim Babcock was talking about. When we support missionaries and transformation happens, guess what? It's because of your faithfulness. This year, Joel, if you want to go ahead and come on up. This year, we are going to regularly see missionaries coming in. I'm going to be much more intentional this year in scheduling missionaries to come in. It's going to be a mix of currently supported missionaries and then potential support missionaries that we could support who are itinerating. Now, for those of you who don't know, here's how the Assemblies of God does this. You have to itinerate. You have to raise monthly support, but you also have to raise cash on hand. So an Assemblies of God missionary, if you're called to be a missionary, know that this will take place. You have to raise your own funds. The General Council does not just send you a check every month for whatever. They look at the area. Some missionaries' monthly support is very little. I've heard of some missionaries being in surplus of $10,000 a month. It depends on where they're going and what they're doing. But they cannot leave, generally, until they are 75%, I believe. See, I'm going to have somebody watch this now and tell me that I was wrong. But they have to be almost fully funded monthly before they are released by the General Council to go into the field. Now, when we talk about cash on hand, these are one-time gifts. And so it's very easy for the missionaries to gain cash on hand, because what do when we bring a missionary in? We collect an offering, don't we? And then we encourage you to go back to the table and talk to them after service. Do you know why we encourage you to go talk to them after service? For monthly support. This gift here that we collectively take, and that's a one-time check. That's cash on hand. I would venture to bet that a majority of our missionaries would say, I need one. They're always going to say, I need more prayer. Because, well, God can multiply anything. And so as long as we have prayer, we're going to make it. He'll see it through. If He's called us, He's going to take us, right? But I would bet that a majority of our missionaries would rather give up that one-time cash and instead trade it for monthly support. Because this is what they need to be able to go out and carry out the mission that God has given them. What they need is what Paul had from the Philippian church. Regular support. We don't know if it was monthly support. We don't know if it was quarterly. Listen, they don't have the mail like we do. They don't have internet. It could be that the Philippian church collected for 6 months and sent it on horseback or camel or whatever they had. I don't know. But I know that Paul said, thank you. Thank you for supporting me. Continual support sees through the ministry. Support like this, it's bought in. Monthly support is a buy-in from the person. It's somebody who believes in their work, and it's somebody who's willing to faithfully support them. Every church, every single church across the nation, across the world, listen, there's nobody exempt from this. They have to focus on missions and missions giving. If not, we're walking away from the purpose that God called us to. A church that gives to missions is a church that blesses God. And it's a church that God blesses. And I've heard it too many times from other pastors and others who have walked through this, that have experienced this, that once they brought focus as a church, once they brought focus to giving to missions, and their churches started giving to missions, and we've been giving. Listen, you'll see that today in our annual business meeting. We've done well, but guess what? I think we can do better. I think we can do better. It's been a long time since we've took on a new missionary, and it's time to bring focus back to that. That once we start to focus, their churches started multiplying. Now you can take that for anything you want that word multiplying to mean, and I guarantee God has seen that about in another church. Because they have focused on missions. And this is why our global impact is part of our Giving Generously series. I truly believe, I know that I sound like a repetitive gong here, but I believe in every fiber of my being that this is what God has called me to preach in January. And I believe when I say, I've said this, I think every sermon, this can be the year that we look back on and say, this is when it all started. This is when it all changed. January of 2024, we went all in. This is when it began. Engaging our community for Jesus, right? We end every sermon with engaging our community for Jesus. Why? Because it's our mission. It's our church's heart. It's our purpose. It's why we exist. And I know many times when I share this, when I talk about our mission and I put our tagline in, it's generally with the focus of being here, right? In our prospective communities, here. However, isn't our community worldwide? Collectively, aren't we the church, the body of Christ? Our community is anyone who needs to hear the gospel message. And we've all heard that message. And hopefully, we've all responded positively to that message. And if not, you're going to have the chance to do so here in a minute. Keep in mind that our giving to missions is a fragrant offering unto God Himself. Let me ask you this. How many people's lives will be changed because we gave? Whose life will be impacted because we said yes? Who will be reached because we faithfully supported? This doesn't necessarily mean somebody in Africa is going to come to know Jesus because I gave. But what if it was your neighbor who God just started miraculously starting to open doors and plant seeds, and all of a sudden this neighbor or this family member maybe or this friend that you have prayed for years, somehow a conversation starts up and you talk about mission. Listen, God can do whatever He wants. And if that's how it takes to bring somebody, then I say it's worth it every single time. If you guys would, bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. Here's the gospel that we share in the Great Commission. It's summed up beautifully in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came to this earth to die for our sins, to pay our debt, and to reconcile us back in relationship with God the Father. Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with your mouth, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I told you just a second ago you'd have an opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel today. This is your chance. If you've never responded to the gospel and you want to today, with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're saying, I want to respond to this, I want a relationship with Jesus, would you please just raise your hand this morning? Listen, the greatest challenge that we face today is how do we respond to this message? I know it's hard to hear messages like this. If I could take the easy way and not share a message like this, I would. But I wouldn't be faithful to what God has told me to say. All I can do as your pastor is to encourage you to put it to prayer. This is how we respond. We take time and we say, God, what do you want us to do? And we listen. Like, really, truly, we ask and we listen. Right? Sometimes we ask questions and we don't want to hear the answer. We want it to be a different way. And so maybe we rush through our listening of that. But what I can encourage you to do is ask and listen. After sitting in an ISOM class with Don McGarvey, he used to be in the missions office, I left that weekend completely challenged and just blown away on how to look at missions differently than I had been. And we have faithfully supported missions ever since. And I can tell you that it has changed Alicia and I's life. And I know that there are several others in here today that would testify to the same thing. So here's what today can be. Today can be your first step. The first step is prayer. As the worship team leads us in a song, I want to encourage you. They're getting lunch ready. You do not have to rush out of here. There's no roast on the stove for you to get home to because we're going downstairs for lunch. And so, as the worship team leads us in a song, let's be encouraged to take the time to pray. Let's take the time to approach the altar without distraction and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And listen, if you need prayer this morning, I want to pray with you. Just let me know how I can pray. I'll be at the front as well. But we want to cover you in prayer. Amen?